Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today's Tuesday, the day our community, online and in person, studies the Bible together. This week, we're looking at a story that really illustrates God's patience with his people. The context for this week's Bible story is the same as the last couple weeks we've looked at. It has to do with Moses, who has just led God's people, the nation of Israel, away from slavery in Egypt. And he's leading them towards a wonderful promised land, a land of milk and honey, it was said. And you'd think that the people of Israel would have a really healthy awareness of God's power, God's love and protection for them. You'd think they might have this kind of an awareness because they've seen God do some incredible things to save them. First of all, God brought some terrible plagues against the Egyptians to convince the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, to let God's people go. Pharaoh didn't relent until firstborn males, animals and children were killed, and the people of Israel were spared in what's called the Passover. So that was the first thing that should have given the Israelites a pretty healthy sense of God's care and protection for them and God's power to deal with their enemies. But then God led them through a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Again, a visible sign for them that God was with them, God was leading them. This was not just Moses' plan, but this was God's plan to lead them out of Egypt and into the promised land. And then, when they found themselves backed into a lake, the Red Sea, God split those waters apart, saving them. Even though they doubted and grumbled and thought, oh, maybe we should have just stayed in Egypt, God made a way where there didn't seem to be any way. So again, powerful sign of God's presence, God's care. And then when they were hungry, God gave them manna, food from the sky. Again, incredible gift from God. When they were hungry and grumbling and whining about it, God made a way for them to eat where there didn't seem to be a way. You would think the net effect of all these things would be that this people, Israel, would have a really healthy sense of God's care and provision for them, and they would just learn to let God be God, and they would just learn to trust him and let go. But that wasn't the case, as we're going to see in today's story.
All the congregation of the people of Israel moved from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarreling of the people of Israel, and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?"
Now this story seems like a bit of a summary, maybe not a word-for-word account, because the first thing the Israelites say is simply, "Give us some water." They're being a little demanding, maybe, of Moses, but Moses' reaction seems a little outsized. He really reacts strongly. But the Bible does say that they were quarreling with Moses. So they clearly said more than just "give us water." There was clearly a sense that they were really complaining and grumbling about Moses having led them, for God, out of Egypt and into this desert. They were thirsty. You know how hard it is to think straight when you're thirsty, when there's no chance of finding water nearby. You start to fear for your life. You can't really think straight. You can't really control your emotions. It's a difficult time for anyone, and imagine these Israelites. They're a people who've just escaped slavery. They're not exactly a people with a lot of resources and a lot of options. They're in this desert because if they go back to Egypt, they'll be killed. But it looks now like they might die there anyway, because they haven't got water and they don't have a clue how they themselves are going to find water. How are they going to dig a well deep enough? How are they going to get a pumping station up from the Nile River or the Red Sea? They can't. How would they ever do that? They don't seem to have any options under their control. And so they think that means they have no options. Now, of course, we're talking about Israel here, so they do have another option outside of their control. It seems like they haven't thought about that, though. They're so narrowly focused on their own concerns that they haven't really thought about whether God can help them, whether God led them to this place for a reason. They've narrowed their minds. They're only thinking about themselves and how they will get water, and they're only thinking about Moses and complaining and accusing him of having brought them out to the desert to die. They're not thinking about the bigger picture. They're not thinking, wait a minute, God brought us here. God has protected us, brought us here through miracles. Surely he can make a little bit of water too. They're not thinking that way though. And if they were, you can imagine the tension, the conversation that would be going on in one's head, saying, you know, on the one hand, I've seen incredible things. God's done all these wonderful things to save me and my people and bring me here. But on the other hand, I'm thirsty. And I'm looking around at dust and rocks, and I don't seem to have an awful lot of opportunity to find water here. No oases, no wells in sight. And so you can imagine how hard it would be to trust God in that moment. And yet, God has a plan. So when God heard about this situation, he gave Moses some very simple instructions. I don't suppose he needed to. He could have just said, what? They're complaining about what? They still don't trust me? Forget them. He could have just given up on this whole Israel thing, given up on this whole earth thing. But instead he said, Moses, I want you to go to this particular rock and bring some witnesses to see what's about to happen here. And take your stick, your walking stick, the one that has been with you for the other amazing miracles that I've performed through you. And I want you to hit that rock with that stick, and water will gush forth from it. Now, either Moses doubted, or maybe he had finally learned, unlike the rest of his people, to just trust God. But he went and did it. This crazy thing that shouldn't bring forth water, except if God is behind it. So he goes, hits the rock with his stick, and the water gushes forth. Imagine what that would have been like. Imagine being one of those witnesses, one of those elders that he brought with him, and seeing water come out of a rock, of all things. How could you ever attribute that to anything? It wasn't a coincidence. There wasn't a spring here a minute ago coming forth from a rock. No, this could only be God. Imagine the jubilation in that moment. On the one hand, the joy at having water to drink again, and on the other hand, the joy of having a God who protects you and loves you through anything, who helps you even when you can't help yourself. Now, if God had sent water through rain, people could have written it off. It's just the weather. If he brought Moses to a mountain with a spring, people would have said, oh, well, that was always there. Moses just got lucky. He led us to the right spot. If he'd shown them a well or a place to dig for a well, again, people would have said, oh, well, you know, this seemed like a good spot for a well. People have been digging wells for thousands of years. We did this. But instead, God used a plan that could be attributed to nobody and nothing but him. Hitting a rock with a stick doesn't usually make water, but that day it did. So, we're going to look more at this story tomorrow, but in the meantime, I've got a question for you to think about and discuss with some others. It's really important that you do that. If you've been doing our challenges alone, that's great. Welcome. Glad you're here. But how long have you been doing them? And have you tried to get a group together yet? If you haven't, please do. It's important that you're not just doing these things yourself, but that you're sharing them with others. So share our challenges with some other people in your life. Watch the videos on the same days. And then whenever you're together, weekly, daily, monthly, whatever it is, discuss what you've been learning. So here's today's question. How do God's actions show patience? How might a different God have reacted? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.